College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else some college, good old college football. The regular season is done, and maybe that's a good starting point, the regular season. Let's not forget, college football features the best regular season in any sport there is. And part of the reason why is the rivalries and how it's set up. So before you extend to 16 and 32, we're playing football too, guys. You can't play every other day. But before you extend this thing to 16 and 32 teams, like some people want, just remember the regular season, okay? Here on the College Ball Show, we're not afraid of adding a fifth or sixth. This year, we would have been fine with eight. Eight doesn't line up. Anyway, we're going to get into all this. We are going to do a little bit of recap from a chunk of days ago. We did actually have some upsets. We did have some tighter than expected games. Of course, we had a blowout or some blowouts too. So, we're just going to talk about a Clemson, obviously, you know, handled Notre Dame, like my co-host said. Florida hung with Bama pretty well. Same with Northwestern. Iowa State, man, I feel bad for them. That just sucks, man. 27-21, they lost. Cincinnati snuck one off against Tulsa as well. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the final committee rankings. Just kind of have a little rant on that in general. For whatever, it's not all just pro Cincinnati, but just in general, I think we're going to have a nice little rant. And then we'll kind of look at some of the bowl games, some of the hardcore barn burners where you're like, dude, that's a good game type thing. There's still some games that they haven't even called all the way yet, but we won't be predicting the national championship on this show. We're going to do our normally scheduled show on Monday. And then we'll preview and predict all that stuff. So we're going to get into it in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at Archive. It's basically the headquarters for it. But if you want to listen to this College Ball Show, you don't have to go to Blog Talk Radio and download the show right there or listen to it in the browser. You can find the Ropeadope Radio podcast where this show's under at Apple Podcast, on iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, almost everywhere you can listen to your pods. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. One more thing before I bring in my co-host here, Marshall. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy. A lot of people are losing regional cable networks that messes them up for basketball or hockey season or whatever. So I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They have the 7-day free trial once you sign up. There's no annual contract. Plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And right now, just for signing up, 30-day free trial of HBO Max. If you sign up for the Max package, that will already include HBO Max. Also, a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11. AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, and seeing how he's doing. Normally, he's in Texas. Now he brought the cold with him. Last night he got in, it was like 45 degrees. There was actually humidity late night. I was up till like 3-4 in the morning and it was 45 degrees, high humidity. So you knew it was going to rain. So it rained, it iced, and now it's snowing. So just in time, he's going to get some single digits, some freezing cold. So how you feel, man? Welcome back to Minnesota. It's definitely Minnesota weather for you.
Yeah, I brought my nice Under Armour coat, which I'd worn many, many times when I lived up here. So I did not forget that. I was like, see, it's going to be single digits this week. I'm going to bring a nice warm coat. So Yeah, I don't get to wear that coat much in Texas, though, so at least it gets its use. Overall, though, it's nice to be back home with family for Christmas. Obviously, this year has been a long-ass weird year, which everyone knows, so it's I can't complain about sneaking home for a week before get back to coaching high school basketball. So, yeah, can't complain too much. Been watching a lot of sports. I've watched almost, I think, 4 Big East basketball games today. I'm about to lose a bet on one, but and we'll begin there. We'll begin that season here soon, too. But, yeah, life's okay. Can't complain. And it does feel normal to have a little white snow on the ground around Christmas time. Because when I drove home yesterday, I saw a bunch of grass. I'm like, what has happened to Minnesota in the 5 months I've been gone for? It's a Christmas with no snow would be super strange. But of course, there's a blizzard from hell. So yeah. But overall, actually, Chris, I was looking at going to see good old Bama. I know we're not going to preview the game, but I was looking at tickets. And I think with limited capacity, it really jacks up the ticket prices. If you were going with like on a date or going with a friend, tickets are $800 a pop for Bama Notre Dame. So I will not be going to that game.
What would be the starting price? 100 for that? 200? 80?
I think if you had a full Jerry Jones stadium, I think you could probably get in the door for 100. Or right. I bet you get in the door for $150. In a regular year.
That sounds all right.
You know, but with limited, I'm sure it's got to be limited capacity. Yeah. You know, that makes the prices jack way up. Because honestly, it would be fun to go to a Bama game. I would honestly enjoy saying Roll Tide, like put on my Roll Tide shirt, which I got when Kiffin was there. Yeah, I would do that just for one time to see a Bama game versus Notre Dame. But yeah, the price range, hell, $800, that's a good chunk of money. I'm not that diehard of a Bama fan. So yeah, but
are you a Bama fan in general now?
No. Okay. I just think it would be cool to go see Bama play in person. One, just as a sports fan, I think it'd be fun to go. Sure. Oh yeah, I saw Bama play football. Yeah. Right. But not for that, price ticket. But and we'll get to this. I'm going to enjoy this, but, Bama did play a game last week and they beat a coach I'm not a huge fan of. And that coach and I, a huge fan, and made some dumb mistakes, and I cannot wait to get to that part of the show. So yes, overall, Chris, life is okay, family is safe. I went Christmas shopping today and we're good to go. NBA is going tonight. You get to watch your Wolves after the podcast. Hopefully 2021 brings us everyone much more happiness and joy in their life.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood, but I think that's somewhat guaranteed. Considering since March.
One would hope.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to have – I don't even want to get into it. So, obviously, Bama – speaking of Bama, they did get off to a very good start, got up 21-10, got up 35-17. We're up, like, you know – it was like, I think it got to 4 points, 35-31. Then they extended it back to 42-31, and – it was back and forth. It felt like they had it pretty much in grasp the whole time. And there was a late score, of course, and all that, some late scoring and stuff. So 52-46 kind of looks like they were nip and tuck most of the game, which not really. 52-38 until under the two-minute mark, so or right around the two-minute mark. But they did hang with them. No doubt about it, you know, to an extent anyway. Trask had a pretty good game, that's for sure. Didn't throw a pick and whatnot. He did, you know, lose some fumbles, though, now that I think about it. But Bama pretty much handled business. They didn't cover the spread, but they did handle business. And, man, you know, we're in such a weird year, this freaking Bama offense is not even that far off from LSU's. Like, it's last year's, of course. Their defense is, like, the first 4 to 5 games, you were like, it's a funky year, so we'll see what this defense looks like. But then, because remember, Ole Miss and some other folks put up some numbers on them. But they've tightened up their defense, and their offense is just a well-oiled machine.
You know, I'm not lying. So if you're listening to this podcast, this is the God honest truth. I was going to ask you just for fun. I was like, is this Bama offense comparable to LSU's offense of last year? I would give the slight edge to LSU last year because I think they did the equal amount of offensive damage against a much harder schedule. But this Bama offense has been really, really good. And you can tell they've been really, really good because they're about to see a freaking wide receiver win the Heisman, which is pretty much nowadays unheard of. Like, it is crazy to think that this dude went from being a 50 to 1, a 25 to 1. Now he's the minus 200 favorite to win the Heisman. So if you got a Heisman winning the freaking, or if you have a wide receiver win the Heisman, and you have a running back and quarterback who might be going there to the New York City with him, like, dude, or well, in a regular year, you'd be going to New York City. Like, what a specially talented team. And as you said, Chris, the score was close. But if you're a diehard Bama fan, or if you bet Bama moneyline for some crazy reason, like, you never really were in fear of losing the game. I guess Florida could have had like a miraculous onside kick or something crazy happened at the end. But yeah, they were pretty much in control. But since you set me up with this for our lead story, I'm going to go to 2 points of the game where Dan Mullen was an idiot. Part one, being an idiot. And they actually asked him about it in halftime. So Florida has the ball with about 1:09 left, and they're on the 1 or 2 yard line. And there's obviously a 40-second play clock, and Florida decides to rush the play clock. They could have milked the clock, made Bama call timeout, do something. But Kyle Trask snaps the ball with however many seconds, about 25 seconds left on the play clock at least, and scores a touchdown. So due to Florida rushing to score for no reason, that gives Bama the ball back. Bama goes and scores before half. Again, you're playing against one of the best offenses in the past 10 to 20 years. Why would you want to rush? There's not a single justifiable reason to explain that. So, of course, they ask him that going into halftime. And they're like, well, coach, why were you rushing to score? Well, I'm not worried about time. That's not how we are. We just want to score against Bama. We're not going to worry about slowing down our game. Well, dude, you're an idiot. That was really stupid because Bama went and scored. Like, I don't care. Well, we're not worried about slowing down our play. Well, yeah, but it
costs. We're worried about the Florida Gators.
Yeah, it cost you a score. Like, that's really idiotic. Okay, so that's part one, being stupid. Part two, and I'll throw it back to you because I'm enjoying this. Part two, okay, so they score late, and at this time, Bama scored a touchdown. They're down 8, and you have the choice of all the sabermetric shit. Okay, maybe you can go for 2 to get down 6, you know, and then if you were to get the ball back and score again, you could win. Okay, whatever, fine. Is that really necessary? I don't know. Hell, if you're Florida and you're this incredible school, are you really that worried about going into overtime and making it 7-7? Whatever. So they go for 2, and they do make it down 6, but as you went for 2, you called a timeout. So you went from having the ball with scoring and having 2 timeouts left in your pocket, and then you call a timeout, set up your 2-point play. Now you have 1 timeout left. Now Bama's really – you're going to get the ball back in 20 seconds. So – for this offense, as you said, Chris, which Kyle Trask played a pretty damn good game. That Florida offense did about probably as good as they could. The massive difference of having 2 timeouts left in a game and 1 timeout is huge. Florida could have had the ball with it. Let's say they stopped Bama on 3 plays. Florida could have had the ball with 1 minute to go on the clock, down 7 or down 8 or down 6. Instead, Florida had the ball with 20 seconds to go. Again, completely stupid timeout. If you need to come up with that big of a play, kick the extra point, you're down 7. Now you have 2 timeouts in your pocket. Now you can actually get the ball back. But to waste a timeout there, again, really, really stupid. Because Bama's like, all right, fine, dude, we'll punch you the ball. You have 20 seconds to go. Good luck. Bama rushes Trask. They fumbled or it never happened. So those were 2 really dumb plays by a head coach that loves to talk all the smack and thinks he's special. He didn't show off those special genes, and I'm happy they lost. And that was just, again, you lost by 6 points, and we're discussing 2 situations that easily could have cost you that point total there, or could have made the game. Again, I'm not saying Florida wins, but Chris, those were 2 situations where it probably would have been really beneficial for the decisions to be made smarter by their head coach.
Well, he's probably like looking in the on the Alabama side or something and making sure everybody's like socially spaced 6 feet or something like that. He better slow down on the violations too. No, I'm just kidding. They're just normal violations. Moving on, although we've spent plenty of time on the very good coach, by the way. We're going to find out if he's just a great coach. But, yeah, he's dude, we're going to have to cover Dab. Did you see Dabo's freaking rankings, dude? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
What an idiot. The guy's won championships, dude. Are you ever happy? But, hey, he was happy after this one. They got off to a funky start with an interception, but – other than that, Clemson just rolled. They were up 24-3 at half, extended it to 31-3, and never really looked back. And the running back slash quarterback running really did it. They only had 27 carries, but who needs 20? You know, who needs 50 carries if you're doing 219 and 8.1 a pop? Both of them had a touchdown. The running back 10 carries, 124. And the QB, you know, tossed the ball around a little bit, no doubt about it. But 14 carries, 90 yards as well. They were not going to get beat up on the run game this time and also not give up the run. They had 30 carries for 44 yards. And Ian Book, who can run, and, you know, it is a little different how they calculate. When you get sacked, that's rushing yards in college, but he had 10 carries for negative 35 yards, which I don't think that's that good. So 30 carries, 44 yards, a buck five. To me, that was the game right there. We're going to be able to run this time instead of only gaining 24 yards or whatever they did before. And we're stuffing the run and we're not going to turn the ball over. They handled them.
Was there any fear in you the whole day that you thought Clemson was going to lose the game? I use them at teaser. I won the bet easily. I just, that day, there was just no part of me that thought Notre Dame would win. Just because you beat them once. Lawrence is back. This is a team who's been there, done that before. And on the big stage, Notre Dame has not been there, done that before. So, again, you rattle off good stats. That all makes sense. Notre Dame was up early. They somehow missed a 24-yard field goal, which is mind-blowing in itself to go up 6-0.
I mean, not if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, but that's a different show.
That is true. That's true. So, yeah, dude, I just, again, I could give a nice summary on this game, but I just never thought Clemson's going to lose. They took care of business. They covered the spread. And now Notre Dame's about to get their ass kicked by a different team in the top rankings, but yeah, we'll get there later. But yeah, a Clemson win that we all expected. We would have a hell of a segment if Notre Dame had swept Clemson. That would be something to talk about, but Lawrence took care of business and the future Jaguar quarterback had himself a nice day.
Well, I don't really think it was just Lawrence though. You know, they ran the shit out of the ball and their defense played way better. I mean, that was like night and day, you know?
True. Yeah.
That was night and day. But you're right. I never felt like we had a difference on how much the point totals would be. That's the only difference we had going in. But other than that, yeah, I agree. That's a great way to put it. I never really thought that Notre Dame was going to win that game. And you can't fault us until they actually get over the hump and do it. Speaking of getting over the hump and doing it, Northwestern almost did that. They got up early. They were up 10-6. There was some back-to-back picks, and they missed some field goals. They fumbled. They had an interception. The second half was just not a good look for Northwestern after playing. I mean, still a really good game, but punt, fumble, missed field goal, interception. It was rough. And two of those punts I'm talking about are three and outs. They had a turnover on downs, obviously, at the end of the game. But so that is a little heartbreaking for Northwestern, no doubt about it. But, I mean, Sermon, 29 carries, 331 yards, 11.4 a pop. And overall, they had 399 yards as a unit, 44 carries. Ohio State just said, we're going to run the ball. We're not going to mess around. There's something wrong with our quarterback's thumb. Was it his thumb? I think it was his thumb or finger or wrist. Maybe I forgot now. I think it was his thumb. But anyway, we're just going to run the ball. And that's exactly what they did, especially in the second half.
They did. But I mean, that really wasn't that good of a win. I mean, that they're as crappy as Northwestern's offense looked in the second half. Yeah. Hell, Fields did too. I mean, that was really an ugly game. There was multiple times in the second half where Northwestern could have taken the lead. And I know that the score, they won by 12, but I mean, that game really was pretty close until about 5 or 6 minutes to go. So that was a win. But Ohio State is very, very lucky to have the name they do on their helmet, because that's the reason they made the playoff. Because their two big wins of the year were against Indiana, where you almost blew a massive lead. And now, and again, I know they have people out for COVID, but other people have had issues too. But I mean, that was far from, like, that was massively different from the Notre Dame game. Like, Clemson won that game easily, I would say. But Ohio State, that was in the fourth quarter, that game was a one possession game. So they got the win. Again, they're lucky to have their name they do on their helmet. But Fields had, again, an off game.
Well, they're not lucky to have the name on their helmet. Well, they're lucky you're talking about being in the rankings.
Yeah,
they've earned their respect as a team that's a good-ass program.
They have. But, again, yeah, you're right. But I say that because this year, what they've done, their resume is not maybe connected to their ranking next to their team. You know, it wasn't an impressive win. You won by 12 points against a team in Northwestern who doesn't really have an offense.
But they're a garbage team, though. Are they garbage?
I would say they're an average team. Like, Northwestern had a nice year, but you were in a one possession game, and the committee said their big thing on after they gave their predictions or their results were we're talking about an eye test. Okay, so for your eye test, Ohio State almost blew a 28-point lead against Indiana. That doesn't look good to an eye test. And you looked like average. I mean, again, they won the game, but was that a spectacular performance? No, not at all. Dude, that was a one-possession game where Northwestern was twice in the red zone trying to take the lead. So we're talking eye test because that's what matters to the committee. You had a decent win, but you beat a team by 12 points. But that was far from impressive compared to what Clemson did in Notre Dame. Notre Dame-Clemson was an impressive game. Bama had a good win against a competitive team in Florida. Ohio State beat a team, and they looked okay doing it, but it wasn't impressive. Because we're talking
right. But we're not talking about Bama and them. We're talking about Cincinnati compared to them. That's okay. What we're talking about, Marshall. We're not talking about Bama and Clemson.
But if eye test is what the committee was, if that was the main reason they put a 4 near Ohio State, or they finished with a 3. That's just, again, you're just putting them in there because they're a freaking name. Your great wins of the year, you do not look good. I'll tip the cap to Bama and to Clemson, because when you're big games, you've either blown people out or look convincing doing it. Ohio State's top two games, they did not look convincing at all in either game. They won the games, but there was not a spectacular performance.
And let's go to that Cincinnati Tulsa game. So they've had a spectacular performance in a not impressive win either, then, because they beat the shit out of SMU. They beat the shit out of SMU, which is their second best win.
But what was okay? So we're talking eye test. But in fairness to Cincinnati, that game was massively pouring down rain. Okay, so it is really hard.
I mean, both teams though, right? Both teams were in the same condition though, right?
No,
I mean,
no,
Ohio, do we got to talk about a quarterback that can't throw properly? Do I got to bring up that excuse for Ohio State?
Ohio State played inside of a dome.
Cincinnati was in a freaking monsoon. Yeah, but if your quarterback doesn't have a good throwing thumb, does that affect it? That's all I'm saying. The other quarterback didn't have the same thumb. They all had this play in the rain. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't know that Fields beat up.
He fucked up his thumb, dude. Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, to him, again, if we're going off numbers, he had a pretty shitty game. Well, he had a rough game against Indiana.
I didn't deny that, though. I didn't say he had a great game, though, so there's no point in bringing that up because I didn't say he had a good game. I featured the running back, Sermon, who had one of the second biggest game of all time in college football. I think
that's pretty impressive. He had himself a day. That is true. Yes.
All right, so moving to Cincinnati, 27-24. They're both playing in rain. They're a running team, by the way. So they don't air it out all over the place. They do run the shit out of the ball. So that does help you in rain. I'm saying my point is they ran the crap out of the ball 38 times, 27-24 for a good win. But I'd say their better win, just to use your example of Indiana, I'd say the other big win was SMU, and they looked explosive in that game.
Cincinnati, what more could they have done this year? With how this year has ended, it is pretty much told me that from moving on forward, unless the committee changes, they're not going to, that unless you are a top name blue blood school, there's really no reason at all to give a shit to go schedule a hard conference because you're not going to make the Final Four. Like, this year pretty much told any school who's not named Bama, LSU, Clemson, or Ohio State, you're never going to make the big championship game, so who really cares? You're playing the college football season to have a nice win-loss record, compete for your conference title, and make a nice bowl game, but making the Final Fours out of the picture, and to me, that kind of kills the whole purpose of sports.
Okay, well, first of all, you wouldn't have been a college football fan for all these years because it used to be just two teams, and it used to be one against seven and one against three, two against four. So let's keep it all in perspective. But it wasn't just this year, Marshall. So well, Florida was bummy then? I mean, if you put Central Florida and this Cincinnati team on the same – in a neutral site, that's a damn good game from a couple years ago, of course. I'm speaking.
Well,
it was a damn good game this year, but sure. You know what I mean. So yeah, that before that. We can't just now all of a sudden Cincinnati's the only team that got screwed. Central Florida got screwed then too. This year they should have added more teams in general. It doesn't mean they need 16, just in general.
Sure, but I think this year, and we'll get there because that's the main thing I'm ranting about.
Well, we're already there. I tried to talk about Cincinnati in the Tulsa game, but you just were like, screw it. And so we're there. We're already there.
So here's my main point from the committee, which exemplifies why I have an issue. Okay, there is no reason to me that, first of all, Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns are 19. That's complete joke saying that a mid-major doesn't matter. And Iowa State is 10. Iowa State has three losses. The Raging Cajuns beat them and had a share of their conference championship, which was canceled due to COVID. The fact that Iowa State is finished 10 off three losses, and Louisiana Raging Cajuns, who beat Iowa State head-to-head, and I don't give a shit that the committee says, well, it was week one. There was some special teams weird plays. Seriously? That's your rationale for why they're 9 spots ahead? And Oklahoma, who...
Yeah, can we get in the top 10? Let's get in the top 10 please.
No, but seriously, how can you justify Louisiana being 19? How?
No, I agree.
You know, the Sun Belt went 3-0 against the Big 12. Okay, so we'll go to top 10. The Sun Belt, who went 3-0 against the Big 12, has Iowa
State
at 10.
They beat Iowa in the head-to-head. We didn't really clear that up. Head-to-head win, too.
Yeah, head-to-head. They beat them head-to-head.
Head-to-head, yes.
So Iowa State being 10 is an absolute joke.
So they proved it on the field, is the point.
Yes. So them being top 10 truly shows you how much we're favored towards big schools. And Oklahoma being 6... I mean, again, that really does show, you know what, Cincinnati, hey, you had a good shot, but you're never going to make it. That's more like you could have put – Cincinnati could have been 5 or 6. They could have been. But, no, we're going to put Oklahoma at 6. And the Big 12 was not good this year. And
they were out – week 3, they were out of it. They were out of week 3. Or, you know, maybe not week 3, but three games in, they were out.
So I can completely understand why the Final Four are where they are. Again, I know it would have taken a lot for Cincinnati to get in, 100%. I'm not that crazy to think that, but they could have been closer to 5 or 6. But the fact that Oklahoma skipped them, and Oklahoma, if we're talking resumes, Cincinnati's resume is honestly not that different from Oklahoma, honest to God. A&M, okay, you won losses to Bama. I'll give you that. But Cincinnati, Oklahoma, we're throwing resumes on the deck. We're throwing eye test, which the committee said over and over again. Cincinnati's eye test beat Oklahoma because they went undefeated, and they didn't have a shitty loss against a K-State team who finished here as a joke. That's the end of my rant, but it's just frustrating, Chris, because as you said, or one last part, you're right. This has been an issue going on, but I think with how the last college football playoff ranking finished with the numbers of teams I've said, I think it goes to show that we're not making any progress. And what really is, it is demoralizing to a team who does have that occasional miraculous season. I do get the moving forward as we continue our podcast. It's almost always going to be Bama, Clemson, Ohio State. Okay, I get that on a regular. But when you do have that miraculous, crazy season like Cincinnati had, the fact you never had a chance to even get it in for it on a, you know, it's going to be really hard for any school to ever beat what Cincinnati did this year. And they never had a chance. They went down in the rankings.
Well, I don't know about that because hold on. I don't think that's a fair assessment because first of all, they didn't play as many games you normally did either. I'm not trying to just hear me out. Let me finish my sentence on that. And they didn't have to play a real non-conference schedule. So you could play a really hard team. I understand they couldn't do non-conference this year, but to say they pulled off something that nobody's really maybe going to be able to pull off, I totally disagree with that because you didn't have a hard non-conference to see where you were at. So I'm not going to put Cincinnati as the team that could have won the national championship if they just got a chance, because Central Florida was pretty damn good a couple years ago too. And Central Florida did end up the next year playing LSU, like a 9-3 LSU team. And they were in the game. It was very competitive. And LSU just kind of overwhelmed them at the end, you know, in the second half, fourth quarter. They won the game, but I don't even think that wasn't the undefeated year, right?
No.
That was the year after. Right?
They beat Auburn. They beat up on Auburn. Yeah. Again, Auburn said they weren't ready to play. Whatever. But they won. Yeah. Okay. So.
But my point is, you can't just put that on Cincinnati. Like they did something just spectacular that's never been done. That's just not never been done, but won't be done again. They didn't even have to play a super difficult non-conference. So I take that back. Let's say, where should they be right now, Marshall? Should they be in with should they be over Notre Dame? Right now, you and me, should they be over Notre Dame based off them getting beat, even though they beat them in the first game?
Okay, if we're going eye test, eye test, you could say that.
Eye test resume.
You got to give the answer to Notre Dame. But part of it is, the top four, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, or whatever. But part of it is the fact where these teams start off with their rankings. And this is a whole different thing. But part of it, truly, for college football is these, and people said before, maybe we should get rid of the preseason rankings. Because some of these schools have such a favorable advantage of, you know, they start off so high, they're never going to fall down. And to some extent, that's true. You know,
to some extent, Marshall. But honestly, we don't do it until a month left in the schedule. So kind of. But the preseason, I don't know. Those get ate up after a month anyway.
Why is it so unheard of? Because we're about to see Bama beat Notre Dame by 30, potentially. Would it really be that crazy to give a school like Cincinnati a chance? Like, what's the difference? Like, last year, LSU ran Oklahoma out the gym. And this year, Bama's going to run Notre Dame out the gym. Would it really have hurt and killed it to have one year have it be Bama-Cincy? Like, an upset could happen. Like, I know that we're talking resume, we're talking big names on all these different angles, but it seems to be there's such a small percentage chance. Because you're right, Chris, other schools could make runs like Cincinnati had. But it's super hard, first of all, for a school who's not a blue blood to go undefeated, which you have to do if you want to make the Final Four in the way we're set up. So an undefeated season, super hard to do. So that, again, that's why Cincinnati had a a miracle run. Miracle is probably strong. Okay. You had to go undefeated, and you got to have a strong non-conference. Again, now this year, a lot of schools had weak non-conferences, but.
Or didn't even have one. You know?
Sure. But that's fair to a ton of schools. But I think with how they finished at eight, that really is showing, man, it would take an undefeated season plus a super hard non-conference schedule to make. Because that's one point I believe the committee made about either, I think it was Louisiana or Coastal Carolina. And they're like, well,
yeah.
if you would have had the non-conference, it would take the original schedule BYU had before the year of COVID to make the Final Four.
Yep.
And if that's what it takes, that is a hell of a mountain to climb, which I think is almost too unfair. Because if you want to go back and look at it, BYU's original schedule this year was a bloodbath gauntlet of a schedule. And it's such a high hoop to jump over. But, man, I'm done with the rant. It was frustrating to see Iowa State and Oklahoma be where they are. But, again, some things don't change. Let me just ask you this to move off from my rant. Did you at all think, was there any chance in your mind you thought from how Notre Dame looked against Clemson that A&M could have possibly flipped with them before they revealed the rankings?
Yeah, I thought maybe, but not really, just because of because they have the win. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah,
they already have a win over Clemson, and I know a lot of people want to pile on. Well, they got beat this time, and they didn't have their quarterback. But we already broke that down. Did it really have anything to do with the quarterback? Really, the guy threw for 420 yards. Like, he can move too. He's not a bum. And they didn't gain any. They gained like 40 yards rushing and turned the ball over three times on the ground. So it didn't have anything to do with the quarterback, really. I know damn well that he's the number one pick, but. If you're being honest, I actually thought Notre. I mean, remember when this happened, we both agreed that this would happen. You know, back in November 11th or whatever, we said we think Clemson will beat them again, and that kind of sums up both those teams will be in the Final Four.
True. Yeah.
I didn't think A&M would jump them.
I guess you make a good
point about Cincinnati, and that's why I think it's a weird year, because I can't sit there and say bend over backwards for Cincinnati, because they have some really good wins. They have some tight, solid wins. Their defense is much improved from last year. We don't really want to talk about last year, though, but for Central Florida is a good win this year for them. Because of why? Because of the past, right? Am I right with that or not?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we go 1 year back, and this was what a lot of Ohio State fans were saying, so I like to lay it all out. Doesn't mean I pick one way. But if we go back a year, what happened in a head-to-head with Ohio State and Cincinnati? 42-0. Well, we know, though, that they lost a lot of talent. And the opposite was, shit, if a guy runs the right route, you know, in that Clemson game, Ohio State may win the championship. I mean, maybe. You never know. But they'll be at least in the finals. If a guy didn't run the wrong route in that game, literally, they could be in the championship game. So that's a different team, though. Different team because they lost talent to the league. So I'm not going to go, well, they did play last year. And it's 42-0. Just like the Indiana game. Well, they let a big comeback come back. True. But they also got up 35-7. So Indiana can't complain too much, because why'd you get down 35-7? Was that the Buckeyes' fault too? So I like to just lay it all out and see the logic. You know, giving up a lead is bad. It does kind of eye test you. But I don't want to hear, you know, Dan Dockett or whoever saying, oh, they should be in. No, they should be in because they're a better team than them. Well, if you're a better team, why'd you get down 35-7? If you're a better team, like, don't give me the better team. This is football. Things happen. It is what it is. I understand they had two different times in the red zone that they turned it over. But they did that, though. You know, they're not playing themselves. They're not playing an invisible wall. They're playing a team that's trying to beat them. So, you know, it's a funky thing because Central Florida has respect. Boise State for years had respect off of what they did in the past. So we can't just look at the past of some people and equivalent to that being a good quarterback, or like, well, they still have the quarterback. You know, at the beginning of the year, you didn't like the quarterback for Cincinnati, right? So, I mean, sure. It's a mixed bag. I just don't know if I just sold that Cincinnati could have got in there with Notre Dame over Notre Dame. That's my point, because they have a much better win. That's just, there's no way around it. They just do. And also, this whole let's put it to 8. So we already know the fourth team usually gets their ass kicked. Do we really need it to 8? Do we need it to 16? We always talk about money grabs. We call, even though we live in a capitalist society, talk about money grabs. And of course, there's about 15 bowls we don't need. But we do need these extra money grabs. We need to have the fans pay for more games to go to that we know who's going to win. That they, some of them have already played in the regular season. Like, to me, to just say, oh, let's go 8 or 16, or some people even say 32, which I think they're just trying to troll online.
Sure.
But 8, when the fourth team gets their ass kicked a lot, why do we need 8? What's the point of 8? So I'll let you go a little bit more, then we'll come back to you. I'm trying to find BYU's original schedule.
If you could.
I'm trying to find it.
Well, and so just to kind of wrap these few points up. So, but, and honestly, Chris, my main issue is not with the fact that we're comparing Cincinnati to Notre Dame on a field. It's more so how the committee justifies what they do and where they put people. Like, I completely get that if you had Notre Dame play Cincinnati, or Notre Dame or Cincinnati play Bama, like, the point spread in Vegas is going to be a big deal. But part of it is the chance that we're sport fans in this country, and we enjoy the underdog potential story. But it is the way the committee spins their words to justify their decisions when they shouldn't always do it.
Right.
So, for example, Cincinnati, who didn't play for 2 weeks, dropped down in the
rankings. They didn't play for a month. They didn't play for a month, not 2 weeks.
Well, okay, but other schools, Ohio State, doesn't play and they stay where they are. So how are we having one school who doesn't play due to COVID, which is not their fault, fall down, yet other schools like Iowa State, who, again, the love affair with them is mind-blowing, which, again, kind of goes to my point. Again, Iowa State had 3 losses and they're 10th in the country. That just kind of sums up. So, again,
you're kind of covering the mic a little bit.
Oh, okay. So it's not so much that I have an issue with the top 4 teams, because, again, Notre Dame is they honestly had a good year. Like, they cost me a bet against North Carolina, but they won the game, you know, but they've had a good year. But more so just what the committee does. And I think that's honestly most of the rants I hear. I don't think a lot of people in general in the college football across our country think that Cincinnati would torch Bama or torch Notre Dame. But you keep hearing it seems like they change their angle of approach to justify decisions they make. And I think that's what really irritates people overall. That's why I get upset with this show, because it's like, dude, well, just give them a chance. Like, how can that hurt? Or just stick with your reasonings and just stick to them and don't make certain teams get ranked and certain teams go to certain places and then try to come off like, well, it's an eye test. What? So, yeah, I think to wrap this up, it's not so much if Bama played Cincy, they probably would torch them, but you never know. Like, crazier things happen in this world. But give us more of a, here's our black and white plan, and this is how we're going to do stuff. But when you see the rankings with how they finish, and I know you're like, why the hell you bring up the Raging Cajuns 19? I bring up 19.
No, that's a good one, because it was a head-to-head, dude. It was literally head-to-head.
Yeah.
That's the most proof you can get.
And so that is showing you the favoritism of the Power 4 conferences, because the Pac-12, hell, USC was 15th and undefeated. If USC had beat Oregon, they would have come nowhere near the Final Four, yet they're a Power 5 conference. Like, it really goes to show that we're in such a mind-centered, blue blood's got to make the Final Four, and I just think that kind of discredits the sport. That's all. And again,
they also started 3 weeks later, too. So if you're gonna if you're gonna pile on the Big Ten for not enough games, then you can't then let the door open for the Pac-12 too.
No, I just think that again, if they were 5-0 and playing in a conference championship, they could have they probably should have been about 15. You know, again, I know that the Pac-12 is not loaded with star talent.
And again, they were winning too, Marshall. It was kind of like my Miami squad from a couple years back. Remember that? They were just somehow winning, you know?
100%.
So that plays into it. So where should Cincinnati be? Should they be in front of A&M? Should they be the 15?
I could have easily had a 50-50 them at 5 or 6. Yeah, I think they should have been above Oklahoma. And you could really split hairs with them or A&M. Now A&M, again, Jimbo's saying, well, we lost to Bama and we that was our well again Bama rolled you, so you know
they beat Florida, right? They didn't beat Florida.
You beat Florida.
Their best win, Florida.
You could and again there you should be penalized for a loss. Like obviously your loss is against the best team. So I could have easily had to where Cincinnati could have been a 5 or 6 split hairs with
whichever one.
I'm
right there with you. I totally agree with what you're saying about that. I don't just automatically put Cincinnati fourth. Of that, you know, because and another thing is we can't deny that a month goes by and then you have your best victory of the year. Remember, Marshall, that was their best victory of the year, Cincinnati. So that's why I think they should have bumped up, especially at the end. But the maneuvering, remember, people maneuver off good wins, though, too, Marshall. So if you're not playing for a month, you can't act like someone that now has a better win than you isn't – it's not the most craziest thing to move above you. You know, a whole month is a long they didn't play a month. And if other teams are playing and getting better wins, that's different than just, well, they were just sitting there bullying them. I'm just laying it out both sides because I understand they shouldn't have bumped down. But even if they bumped down, they should have fucking bumped them up to 5 or 6. It's ridiculous that they're not there. And Oklahoma is a very mediocre Oklahoma anyway, based off Oklahoma. And even when they're in the top shelf, like, you know, how many – they had that – was it Georgia and Oklahoma? Was that crazy overtime game, right, I think?
Yep, 3 years ago.
But other than that, they get their ass kicked too. I mean, Oklahoma gets their butt kicked too these last couple times they've been in it besides that one. So, but just a BYU schedule, their non-conference.
This is the original Utah, before COVID?
Yep.
Okay.
Utah – Michigan State, Arizona State, and Minnesota. That was their schedule.
And if we're going off a letter grade for a non-comp for a start to the first 4 weeks, that's pretty damn good.
You can't beat it. I mean, you could have a top-heavier team, no doubt, but all four of them, you're not going to find that non-conference. Like I said, you're missing a top-10 team, sure, but the other four. On paper, the other poor going into this year, of course, which you also got to do too, because Minnesota, you know, they had 33 guys missing. So, you know, that's a different team at that time. On paper, it was Utah, Michigan State, Arizona State, Minnesota. And then some challenges in that conference, but as we've discussed, there's not many. It's really Boise State and some OK teams. There is some out there. Well, now San Jose State. Or wait, they're not in a conference.
No, they're on their own. Yeah.
Sorry, they're independent. But their schedule is usually pretty good. They'll play Notre Dame. They'll, you know, that type of thing. But that would have been their non-conference. And to that, I gotta say, here's the deal: when you're in the side that normally has to play, and I know Michigan sucked, but I'm talking about the last 5 years, since that's what we're doing anyway. When you got to play out of that SEC East, when you got to come out of the East of the Big Ten, you do have a lineup. Plus, those teams always have at least one top shelf type non-conference, or at least on paper, because you do, of course, we know you schedule these out 3-4 sometimes 8 years in advance or whatever. So the mixture of you put BYU in a conference, let's see how they do, yada yada yada. But that was the non-conference schedule, which is damn good. Like I said, you can't beat it. Only thing you could do is have a top 10 team, but other than that, like, it's a damn good schedule, non-conference.
Yeah, because in fairness, all of the top schools, and you can't blame for doing it, but every year Bama and Clemson play some team where they're a 32-point favorite against, and the school's playing them to get a paycheck, which it's just, you know, that's
routine.
And it's
routine. Also because they play in a tougher conference.
Sure. Agreed. Yes. Games. True.
Now, to the people that want to do even 8 or 16 or whatever, let's just put this all in perspective. You fell in love with the game when it had a fucking garbage system. That's what happened. There's no two ways about it, guys. Unless you were a Nebraska fan or someone that won the national championship every other year or something like that. I mean, Miami in the 80s and early 90s kind of did. But you fell in love with a garbage ending to a sport. You just did. So don't act like you didn't. And I'm talking to people out there that want to do this 8, 16, all that. Because when up until 99, it was at the end of the year because of the bowl alliances, Rose Bowl, Pac-12, Big Ten, right? That type of thing. Cotton Bowl, you know, that whatever. You'd have the number one team against number 7 or 5. You'd have the number 2 against 8 or 4 or whatever. You wouldn't decide it. It would be basically almost all the way eye test. Okay, let's not forget about that. 80s, 90s, you grew up and loved a sport that sucked in the end in a lot of ways. Let's just be honest. Compared to what we have now. Then we got top 2, 1 against 2, 1 against 2, right? Okay, we're making steps. Now people hated the computers. Now some people want to go back to the computers. The computers was like 40 different polls mixed into the formula. That's what it was, right? So then, you know, there's obviously issues with that. And they used to, you know, I can't remember his name right now, but some dude used to give us the top 4 every year from the last 15 years. And it made so much sense. And it fit so well, right? And then now we have 4 teams in. Now, could we expand it to 5 or 6? Yes. I think that's what you do. You kind of do it. You do it for a couple of years. You see what you're missing, and then you add to it. You don't just expand on a money grab that fans have to pay more money to go see these, you know, I was going to say fights, but go see these, you know, football games. My point is there is in the non-conference, that's national quarterfinals. In your conference, that can be a national conference quarterfinal. In the conference finals that now in, what was it, 96, 94, when the SEC started that. Nobody did it a conference championship. The SEC started it. Now everybody has them. So you have non-conference national quarterfinals happening for a full month. And without the BCS, we wouldn't have quality September games like we do now. So remember this, folks. Just put it all in perspective and calm down. Let's not go to 16 teams, because you'll be the first one to bitch about. These people will be the first people, Marshall, to be like, God, this fucking matchup sucks. Can we go back to 4? They'll say that real quick, dude. They just want to troll. So then now we're at 4. Well, we know Baylor got screwed that year. Don't give me the TCU, because TCU lost to a 6-6 team. Iowa State or Ohio State, by the way, started at 16, their original ranking, because they lost to Virginia Tech, who was a little bit better than Iowa State that year, but then went on to earn their way in and win the national championship. Remember that year they started at 16 or 15, went all the way to 4, because they beat in their championship game, they, what was it, 59-0 against Wisconsin, who was like 8th? So they earned that one. My point is, let's go to 5 or 6. I like 6 because you could do a bye week for 1 and 2, and then you get the Power 5 potentially there. Doesn't mean you're always going to have that. because some teams don't deserve it. Some teams that only have one loss that is against the number one team. I mean, Bama, a lot of people were destroying Bama that year LSU beat them, and then they skunked them 21-0 in the national championship. So we have to be realistic, and we have to be honest about this stuff. So you add five or six. That's all you need. You get, then you can get your Cincinnati. Of course, it wouldn't be this year, right? But I'm saying theoretically, Cincinnati there. And I do think it would be different if they could have a non-conference, because they would have – I think they had someone solid on the non-conference. But I just want to keep it all in perspective. Don't act like this is – man, this sucks now. Now? So it was okay when we just tore up all these teams for 25 years and had all these shitty matchups. It's much longer than that. I'm just talking about it from a personal perspective. But
yeah,
you can't, you fell in love with a sport that had a bad ending. But let's not, because you want to extend it to 8 or 16, even though we see proof that number 4 gets their ass kicked a lot, let's not expand it just because this gets you likes and retweets. End of rant.
Yeah, I think part of it is I believe they showed that in the past however many years, there's been six teams who've made the Final Four for like 6 years in a row. So I think as a society, you want to see something different, which I get. And this year, Cincinnati could have been the different team. But yes, and I'm with you. If we're talking about how Notre Dame is a 20.5-point dog, if it was Cincinnati, Cincinnati would probably, they're probably looking at like a 22-24-point dog. Okay, yes, that is lame. But it's a different team. That's the perspective of some people. But yes, if we did 1-16, now Bama's playing BYU, which is a better 16 seed than normal. But Iowa versus Clemson, oh dear Lord. Iowa had a slugfest against Wisconsin where neither team could get more than 30 yards on a possession. Or if you had Ohio State play Carolina, I mean, again, we're I'm with you. I think part of the reason to wrap this up from my end is I think people love March Madness. March Madness is probably the greatest tournament in America, in our country, maybe across the world. I mean, it's up there with the World Cup. Like, it's beautiful. But you can't, because even one of the pods I love to listen to from Vegas, those guys love to make those parallels. And I do get the underdog story, but you can't really have the parallel big picture, because in the college basketball setup, there is a chance where you can't have the upset, but then there's still other games being played. Like in college football, you do need to keep it to 5 or 6, because you would
and
have
you
that first.
You can't play that many games
no,
in a row. Dude.
You can't. You know? No. It just,
a lot of these ones that do the tournaments, you know, the D1 and D2 have 8-game seasons in the regular season. So, you know. Yeah. We gotta factor that in.
You would have to really shorten the regular season. And then, as you said, Chris, we're going to go back to the opening month of college football is going to be lackluster games. Because if you're a Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, why would you want to have a decent –
why would you schedule anything then? Yep.
Yeah. And you would just be walking into the 16-team playoff. Because if you were a blue blood school, well, guys, we're currently in the top 16. Let's rip our conference like we always do and make the 16 and see what happens. So, yeah, I'm with you. It takes away
so many crucial games. That's the beauty of it, Marshall.
Yeah,
you get to play the team the next year. You get to play the exact team. Not the exact team, but the exact school. It's not like the NFL. You are – like when you're in the SEC, you're going to be able to meet – if you are a good enough team to pay them back, you'll go get – Bam, you'll get another shot at them, either in the regular season or in the SEC championship. You're going to get another shot. They just got you this year. That's the point of a 117-year rivalry.
True. And part of it is the fact that we're witnessing Bama, who's on a run, which is one of the best runs that people will ever see in, like, all of sports, like, in my lifetime. Like, I'm 36. I'm hoping to live another 40, 50 years. Like, this is one of the best runs of any professional or college sport, to where Bama is a guaranteed. And I would not put Dabo up there with Saban, but Clemson's had a pretty strong run for the past 5, 6 years where, again, it's part of it does suck because, yes, you do get tired of seeing the same teams, which does make for people to want to expand and try new things, which I completely get. Just like people, you know, you could say, well, I'm fed up of Duke, or I'm fed up of Carolina, fed up of Kentucky. But so you do get tired of seeing the same top-notch schools in. But part of it is just a compliment to Bama and Clemson, where they're on a run now where they're so far above everyone else, and essentially they're doing it in a fair way in theory, that there's nothing we can really do. Like, it's going to be Bama and Clemson every year, and you're essentially competing for two more spots, which is super hard because there's a shitload of schools that all want those two spots.
Right, but once again, they are now, unlike the teams of the past, they have to win extra games.
That is true. You're right.
They have to win extra games, and if we want to go not that far back, they have to win two extra games because the SEC championship as well.
And they've just been so good, they've just kept doing it. Which, right, it makes you, but that's just a tremendous amount of respect for the runs they've been on. I mean, just imagine if Bama wasn't so good. It would probably be really fun every year to have this Final Four debate where people would not be worried about who's 5-6, because every year the Final Four would be up for discussion. But part of it is, we're just, as sports fans, we're witnessing a run of two teams who are on such a high run that no one can catch up to them. That's just, it's what we've put ourselves into.
The definition of blue blood is there for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically the same teams were vying for a championship in the 80s. Same teams in the 90s with Nebraska, Florida, Florida State. That's about it, if we're being honest. I mean, Miami early and late, a couple other teams here and there. But, I mean, Florida, Oklahoma, you know what I mean? Like, Nebraska, like, we grew up with, you know, that is part of it, though. That is part of it. So how do you just turn that off? Well, you lose a coach. You know, the coach goes pro.
Yeah.
You know, Dabo Sweeney's top 10, or I'm sorry, top 11. Got to put that in there. This is Dabo Sweeney's top 11 ranking. He has Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, A&M, Florida, Georgia, Cincinnati at 7, Oklahoma, Iowa State, Coastal Carolina, Ohio State at 11.
That's like Dan Mullen saying we're going to beat Bama. Yeah, these guys like to suck. But that, hey, and honestly, Dabo has, we could do a whole podcast on stuff that man has said that makes no sense, or I massively disagree with.
Well, at least move Cincinnati up then. Like, if you're going to do this, this is how it should be, guys. You know, well, then move Cincinnati to 4 then, you pussy. You know what I mean? Like, or put them up to 5 at least then. You know, what do you still have them at, what did I say, 7? Like, any last rant words? Because we got to shut this thing down. We were like, let's do 40 minutes. It's going to be our longest show of the year. I love it.
I'm looking. It's always fun to watch bowl games. I know that we've had bowl games canceled, teams opt out, but it's still football to watch. It's still something to enjoy. The college basketball season is off to a fun start, too. And for a football fan, in 2.5 weeks, you get back-to-back triple headers of Saturday and Sunday NFL playoffs for round one. So as a sport fan, we're still sitting good. Hopefully your team made a bowl game. Hopefully you can enjoy it. And on New Year's Day, when you're hungover, laying on your couch, you get to watch Bama say Roll Tide against Notre Dame, and you get to watch Clemson. And I think Bama's at 3 and Clemson, Notre Dame, or Clemson, Ohio State are at 7. So, we got a lot of good sports coming up. But until then, enjoy Christmas.
We'll be back. We'll be back Monday too to do the preview and predictions and all that.
We will. Enjoy time with your family. Keep wearing a mask. Hopefully a lot of people get a check here soon to help out, because God knows a lot of people could use some extra money around this time of the year. So until then, the boys are out. Have a good night. Peace.